Wouldn't it be wonderful if we always felt as though we were on top of the world? That we would always be in a positive mood, with circumstances involving us always to our liking, that people would always treat us with the respect we feel is due us, and give us all the affirmation and love that we desire and need. This sounds wonderful when we let our thoughts dwell on it, but all of us know from our own personal experiences in everyday living that life does not come to us neatly packaged like that. Life does have its days of sunshine filled with laughter and expectancy, but it also has its days of storms that are filled with anxiety and uncertainty. Storms filled with the fierce winds of conflict, challenge, and change. Storms that bring troubles into our lives that we must learn to deal with before they shipwreck us on the sea of life. So I would like to talk to you just for a few moments from the subject, anointed for what's next. Anointed for what's next. As we look at our text, we can see into the life of the Apostle Paul as it is recorded in the 27th chapter of the book of Acts. We will see that it is a story of Paul's encounter with a storm on the Mediterranean Sea on his way to Rome as a prisoner to be tried before Caesar. Paul had been arrested by the Jews and brought before King Agrippa. Paul had appealed his case before Caesar. He was placed on board a ship sailing for Rome. They enjoyed fair weather during the first part of the voyage, but contrary weather forced them to stop at a place called Fair Havens. They purposed to resume their journey, but God warned Paul of an approaching hurricane force storm that they would encounter, causing much loss. Paul warned the crew, but the ship's captain and the owner overrode Paul's words of warning, and they sailed out of the harbor. They soon encountered the storm, which was furious in strength and which lasted for many days. God told Paul through angelic ministry for no one to leave the ship and no lives would be lost. Although no lives were lost, the ship ran aground and was broken up by the rocks and the waves with the loss of the cargo. So, in this text, the real reason Paul is going to Rome is not to be tried. But the reason Paul is going to Rome is because this is the next step in his ministry. He is going there to preach the gospel. Well, how do you know this, Sister Preacher? Well, because the last verse of the book of Acts ends by saying that Paul stayed there for 2 years, and anybody that wanted to hear the gospel came to hear him preach. So here we have Paul on his way to Rome because he is on divine assignment. And as a result of being on assignment, he has to launch out into the deep, to the place of assignment, and on his way, he encounters a storm. So let's take a look at this a little closer. Paul encounters a storm because he has launched out into the deep And he has stepped out of his comfort zone. Now, the reason he's launched out into the deep and stepped out of his comfort zone, because he was on a new assignment. It was time to go to the next level. It was time for him to activate the what's next in his life. So you see, he would have missed the new assignment if he did not launch out into the deep. But because he was faithful to the assignment, he launched out and then ended up in a storm. You see, God is placing some of you in here on new assignment, equipping you for what's next, transitioning you to the next level of elevation in him. And because of where God wants to take you, he has to prepare you and equip you. Some of you are wondering about the circumstances and the situations that you are in. God has taken you out of your comfort zone, and you have been launched out into the deep to get certified, to be qualified, to be equipped. And what you are now feeling are the effects of the storm. So I want to give you a few points on how to get through this process so that you're fully equipped for your what's next. Fully equipped for the next level of elevation. Fully equipped for your new assignment. So you see, God doesn't want us to stay where we are. It's time to move up. So point number one, the first thing, if you are going to the what's next, then you've got to get rid of some stuff that you can't take with you to your assignment. You can't take it to your what's next. You see, there have been storms in your life that you thought you were in because maybe you weren't living right, maybe you weren't reading your Bible enough, maybe you weren't praying enough. But what you need to understand is that some storms are just a part of the process to get you to the place for what's next. Some storms provide evidence that you are on a divine assignment, because in that storm you learn a lesson that you would have never gotten if you have not gone through that storm. And you discovered that God was using that storm to take you where he wanted to take you. Just look back over your life, and I'm sure you can see. Because when you're in it, you don't know why it's happening. Amen. But later on down the line, you can clearly see, what God was up to. Yeah. Where I am right now and where I was back then, and the journey I took, I understand now. Mm-hmm. I can also prove that as we look at the text. The word of the Lord lets us know that when the storm starts, they had to make some decisions. They started throwing stuff overboard. They started getting rid of some stuff. So God says, I will allow some storms to come in your life because you've got some stuff on your boat that you can't take with you to your next assignment. Because you are not willing to let it go on your own, I had to arrange a stormy situation that will force you to make the decision to die or to dump.
Amen.
Amen.
There are some folk you need to let know that you've got to make a decision. Either I'm going to dump you or die, and I don't want to die, so you got to get off my boat.
Yeah, okay.
For some of us, The reason why some things are going down the way they are going down in our lives is because we got folk overloading our boats. We are carrying people we don't have any business carrying, and we need to throw them overboard. God says, I am letting you go through the storm to get rid of some folks. Everyone that smiles in your face is not your friend.
Amen. Amen.
They can smile in your face all the time. They want to take your place.
Backstabbers.
Yes.
It happens.
But I'm letting you go through a storm so you can throw overboard some trifling friends. I'm letting you go through the storm so you can throw overboard your negative thinking. I'm letting you go through a storm so you can throw overboard your insecurities. So you can throw overboard your inferiority. I'm letting you go through a storm so you can throw overboard your limited thinking. You see, that stuff can't go with you where God is trying to take you. You've got to let it go. I know it may hurt. But let it go. I know it's taking you out of your comfort zone, but let it go. I know it will turn your world upside down, but let it go. Point number two, if you're going to get to the what's next, your problem should not prohibit you from having the proper posture. Your problem should not prohibit you from having the proper posture. As we look at verse 21, it does not appear to be a part of the exegetical plot, but it just seems to be some words moving the story along. But check this out. They're in a storm, right? The boat is rocking, and they're trying to stabilize the boat. And in verse 21, it says, after they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them. So they're in a storm. The boat is unsteady. It's rocking and unstable. Has anybody, Peter, I know you know. If the boat is in the storm, it's hard to stand up if you're rocking from side to side. So the boat is unsteady, it's rocking and unstable, but Paul stood up. There's water in the boat. The boat is almost flipping over, but Paul is standing. Do you know why the devil can't stand you? It's because as much as he is shaking your boat, you're still standing. Is there anybody in here that can say, my life is shaky right now, but I'm still standing. I'm going through some things right now, but I'm still standing. I've got more bills than I've got Benjamins, but I'm still standing. I'm tired of being misunderstood, but I'm still standing. Because Ephesians 6 lets us know that after you've done all that you can, just stand.
Amen.
Woo! This word is for somebody. You see, sometimes people can't understand your praise because they know what you are going through. They know the hell that you are catching. And it's mainly because they're the ones who's causing the havoc. And they can't figure out how you've got the nerve to have a smile on your face and a praise on your lips. Amen. With the storm you are in. They don't know the reason why you're smiling is because with everything that the devil is throwing at you, you are still standing while everybody else on the boat is barely holding on. You are standing. You see, what you are going through has not been so empowered that it can determine your disposition. Woo! I'm getting excited. I don't have to look like what I'm going through. My circumstances will not dictate my destiny. I have refused to give power to what I am going through. If I don't give the power to my problem, then I can determine how I handle what I'm going through and not my problems. Hear me, my difficulties don't dictate my disposition. Because you're going through something deep, you don't have to be depressed. Yes, it's human to be depressed. But you've got to get yourself out of that. You can't stay there. You got to talk to yourself, all right, you've been down too long. We got to change the direction we're going in. Let me go to the Word of God. Where I am is not a prophetic analysis of where I'm about to go. Just because you see me here does not stop me from going here.
Amen. Amen.
You're what's next. You're being anointed. You're being prepared. You're being equipped. God has something in store for our church.
Woo-hoo!
And we all got to be ready for that next level of ministry.
Amen.
Branching out, reaching out. And I loved how on yesterday with the United Women in Faith, and we were talking about how can we help those in our community. That's another avenue we're opening up. God has some great things in store for us. I tell you, this church is going to be filled. You've got to imagine it happening already. See every single pew filled. Seeing that we get everything we need fixed in this church so that the balcony can be filled. You have to see it. Without a vision, the people perish.
Yes.
God is ready to take us to that next level. So our problems should not prohibit us from having the proper posture. So if I want to get to the what's next, we said that we've got to get rid of some stuff. And we have to maintain the proper posture. So let me close it out with this. Point number three. If you are going to get to the what's next, you've got to be hooked up with the right folk. You have to be hooked up with the right people. The text says that the soldier decided to kill all the prisoners. Because it was law in that day that if anybody escaped under your watch, you would be killed. So they said, before any of them escape, let's kill them all. But a centurion desiring to save Paul, not desiring to save them all, but desiring to save Paul, spoke up. And I'm trying to figure out, why is he so interested in protecting Paul? And as I reread the chapter, it's because one of the things Paul said earlier in the 23rd and 24th verse, an angel stood next to me and said to me, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you." So the message is, Paul, you can't die because you are on an assignment. So Paul, since you can't die, everybody that sticks with you is going to survive. And it's in my own hermeneutical opinion that the centurion said, if my deliverance is dependent upon Paul's protection, I'm going to do everything I've got to do to cover him because my life depends on it. And this is an important point, because sometimes you live and die based upon people you're hanging out with.
Amen.
Because association promotes assimilation. God will place the right type of people in your life. He will place people that he knows that will keep you on the right track. Sometimes the only reason you survive some stuff in your life is because you were hanging with the right crowd. Sometimes you are making it only because God is honoring somebody else's faith. Sometimes you are making it only because you are hanging out with someone who is on a mission for God, who has a vision, who has a goal, who has a dream. God has some folk who are willing to help and who are assigned to you to help you get to that next level in him. So I want you to turn to your neighbor next to you and tell them, you are going to make it. Because I am going to make it.
We have a PFD.
You're gonna make it because I am on assignment to help you make it. In conclusion, storms comes into our lives to develop us. Every storm is a school. Every trial is a teacher. Every experience is an education. In times of storms, we may lose the cargo. We may lose the ship. And we may even get wet. But we are going to make it because of the promises of God to us. And I like the amplified version of John 16 and 33. It can be an anchor to your faith when you encounter a storm in your life. It says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you will have tribulations and trials, distress and frustration. But be of good cheer. Be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you. I have conquered it for you. My brothers and my sisters, you are going to make it. Because of the promises of God working for you, you've been anointed for what's next. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your word on this morning, being anointed for what's next. God, we are open and ready to receive whatever it is you have for us to do. God, equip us, mold us, and make us after your will, O God. Help us to see the vision. Help us to see your hand. And let us be what you have called us to be. God, I pray that you would give us grace and your mercy would dwell with us as we discern our call, as we move forward in ministry, as we bear the heavy load. God, we pray that you would lift us up. And let us know that all things work together for good to them that love you and are called according to your purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.